God is good. And all the time. Welcome, welcome, welcome to First Church. Welcome to First Church. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're just so glad that you're here, so glad that you can make it, so glad that you are having so much fun greeting one another. But it's time to settle down. It's time to be grown-ups. It's time to do this thing. When you walked in, you were given a bulletin. If you would grab that bulletin, lots and lots of information in here. If you've noticed, we have a lot of announcements and information up on the screen. Pay attention to that from week to week. But one I want to draw special attention to is this church is hosting a fifth quarter at the middle school this coming Friday. And they're expecting about 100 kids to be there. And at this point, we have a can of cheese and what's the other thing?
Two bags of chips.
So it's enough. That's right. We should have more faith. Yeah. So we might pour that cheese in communion cups and break those chips up and do it that way. But we need some help. We need people to donate some of that stuff, bring some of that stuff to the church, bring it to the school. So whether that is stuff for nachos, stuff for hot dogs, desserts, you name it. So please, we would really just love your service in that way. And again, the fifth quarter is this Friday night, so think about it this week, okay? Next Sunday will be too late. Also, again, plenty of information here if you missed what was on the screen. Also, be sure to tear out your connection card. This third page, tear that out, fill that out, drop that into the offering plate so that we can have record of you being here. Eric, at this time I need to find Cliff Soppy. Cliff, if you want to come on up and give a word. Everybody give it up for Cliff.
Justin was going to give me a baseball signal, and I was going to tell him he's out of here. But no, we won't do that. Eric, if you would, please. On behalf of Gideon's International and the Benton County Gideons, we'd like to present you with this New Testament Psalms for your pocket, New King James Version, for allowing us on June 5th to partner with your church and between the Gideons and First United Methodist Church, Warsaw.
Thank you, sir, very much. Thank you. There you go.
We have a special announcement this morning, Jay.
Good morning. I see my lovely wife coming up the aisle here with something.
Wow, that is treatment.
She's giving flowers to you.
Yeah, she's giving flowers to me. How you like that? That's a change. And I would like to invite Deanna Shockman to come over here. As most of you know, and if any of you don't know, last Sunday, I wasn't here to hear it. I didn't hear about this until later in the week, but Deanna has resigned all of her positions here in the church. And I am here on behalf of the church body, the SPRC committee, to thank Deanna for all of her work here over the past number of years, that she has led the Vacation Bible School, the Sunday school program, music, the preschool. They're just on and on list of things that Deanna has done in this church for the love of Christ and for the love of our children. And I would like to say thank you. Here's a little something for you. And again, we'd like to present you with a little gift from the SPRC to express our love for you.
Thank you.
just want to say that it's been a real honor and a privilege to serve this church, the people of this church, the children of this church, and to serve God. And it wasn't an easy decision, but God had been kind of bugging me about it for a while. So I finally decided to be obedient. And I just thank you for your love and support. And just know that I'm not disappearing. You know, I'm still going to sing with Praise Team because I just have way too much fun doing that. So I'll still be around. My family still be around. And I just look forward to the ways that I'll be called to serve you guys in this church and God in the future. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. And Deanna, on my part, thank you so much. Many of you don't know this because it runs so smoothly, typically. This is my right arm when it comes to worship and such. And so she does a lot of behind-the-scenes work that most people don't realize as far as organization, keeping the worship service together, making it kind of be consistent throughout. And so I want to thank you as well for your time. And how many years has it been? 8 years, folks, she has served this church. So thank you so much. Are you ready for an awesome worship service this morning?
Yes.
We will begin with Mark on the piano as we have our prelude this morning. Thank you.
Would you stand for our songs of praise found on screen?
To the mountain. mountain of the Lord. We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation
that only because of the blood of your Son can be pure and holy, God. We give you thanks and praise that we are allowed to come and gather here today to worship you, God. We give you thanks for so many gifts that you have given to this church family. We give you praise, God, for each of us individually and the lives that we share with others. We give you thanks and praise for the gifts that we have been given, Lord. We thank you that we're willing to share. Holy God, as we come together to worship you today, we ask in Jesus' name for your powerful Holy Spirit. We believe, Lord, that you were already here, but we want to be deliberate in opening ourselves up to you and your ways and asking for your presence in Jesus' holy name. We are begging you to come and be with us. Heal us. Make us stronger. Forgive us our sins, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us stronger so that we can walk the path that you have laid out for us. Open our eyes and our ears and our spirits so that we can be aware of your presence all around us, guiding us, directing us, wooing us, Lord, to the purpose that you have given each of us in our life. Holy God, may your presence be so powerful today that all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place. We believe in you, Lord. We have faith in you, and we know that in Jesus' name all things are possible if it be your will. So come upon us today. Cover us with your presence. Make us one with you. And one with each other. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Strength will rise as we wait.
Rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
Here we go now, sing it out.
You are the
Lisa Derflinger will be presenting Kids Corner. Come on down, kids.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I sing with me now.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
Love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Okay, can we have Deanna come sit down, please?
Oh, geez.
Sorry, we're going to do it again.
Shh, it's okay.
Okay, the kids wanted to thank you for everything that you do, so I'm going to read a card that they made. It says, "For a special person, they may not remember what you taught them, but they will never forget the way you made them feel."
Thank you!
And everybody signed it. And it says, "We love you" on the back. Okay, everybody give her a big hug.
Yay! I'm closer!
Don't hurt her. She's not done yet today. Okay, and Marie wanted to say the prayer today, and she wrote it herself, so if everybody could bow their heads. Okay, open it up.
Dear Lord, thank you for Deanna and all she's did for us. Thank you for this church and God. Amen.
Amen. Okay, get your cups.
Children will be collecting change for mission. In 2010, they collected over $3,700 for apportionments. Our song of praise is It's Me, O Lord, found on page 352 of your blue hymnal.
Thank you.
As most of you probably have noticed on our bulletin this morning, Kevin and Charlene Million were supposed to be here singing A Glorious Day this morning, but Kevin's sick and he's among the concerns that we have. Another concern is we need prayers for Randy and Debbie Morrow as they return to MD Anderson in Houston this week for round two of scans for Debbie. And on a little bit more personal note, I'm certainly pleased and happy that we're having a little cooler weather. I think that my grass is even a little greener than it has been for quite a while. So let's go to God in prayer. Yes.
I apologize. I received a text last night. Some of you may remember Stephanie Moreland. It is being requested that we pray for her and her two children. She now lives in Colorado, and some things have happened in their family that they really need God's help and support, and they've asked for our church. Stephanie is a former Warsawian. So she was active in the school system when she was here. But anyway, please keep Stephanie. Write that down on those joys and concerns so when you take that home, you can remember her name. Stephanie Moreland. Pray for strength and courage.
All right. And I would assume that each and everyone here has additional prayers and concerns for someone special in your life, whether spoken or not. And so let's keep all of these concerns and joys in our hearts as we go throughout this next week, that we may truly lift those in need of prayer. And of course, that includes me and probably everybody else here. Those in need of prayer, just keep them in our hearts and prayers so that we may uplift them in Christ's love. Father, we ask that you be with us closely, that you heal where needed, that you bless all, that you bring closely your presence to each one of us, that we may be guided and directed and blessed too. We ask that you would be with us this next week, that we may retain safety and traveling mercies. Now guide and direct us as we seek to serve you, and so inspire us that we may serve you with gladness and joy in our hearts. These things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Most scholars believe that Mark is, in fact, the first gospel that was written, and something unique about Mark is that it's written in a writing style known as historical present, and that in itself is just very different from some of the way the other Gospels were written. It's very much of a play-by-play, almost like you're listening to a football game. Jesus did this, the disciples went here, Jesus said this. So that's something that's very unique to Mark. In Mark chapter 9, once you have that, if you would hold your place, okay, close that on your finger, and if you would stand with me, okay, lift your Bibles, whether it's on a Nook, a Kindle, on your phone, you name it. Raise it high and say with me the Bible pledge.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 2, it reads, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I was urging her to come to church to join us in worship when she asked me a question so fundamental, so basic that I was stumped. You know that second when you are caught off guard in a conversation? She said, for the life of me, Eric, I just can't figure out what good it would do me to spend an hour or so a week down at a church singing and praying. Why should I worship? Why should I worship? She got me to thinking, why do we worship? Why do we gather each week? I thought back over what people have told me through the years, and most responses to this question are about the valuable benefits of worshiping God. Some have said that they expect inspiration, or at a minimum, a warm feeling on Sunday morning. Others talk about how the fellowship is why they attend. Still others believe that worship is therapeutic. They say things like, it helps me make it through the week. Or good for the nerves. In other words, they say, I feel sort of an inner peace after I've worshiped on Sunday. Some talk about stimulating the intellect. And they say, I like a sermon that makes me think of something in a new way, that makes me see things in a new way. None of you have to worry about that here. No, actually, I hope that you do have to worry about that here. Or, they think about building a unified church family. They say things like, you know, the more we get together, the happier we'll be, right? Or how about a pep rally for the church when they say, we're only here this morning to get us motivated to serve the world. That's why certain people worship. So think about a few of these. Here's the comments. The fellowship. They expect inspiration. It helps me make it through the week. I feel a sort of inner peace after I've worshiped. I like a sermon that makes me think or see something in a new way. The more we get together, the happier we'll be. It's all the same, isn't it? Did you catch the consistency in every single one of those statements? If I were saying these comments, the focus would be on me, right? My feelings, my thoughts, my commitments, my guilt, my needs, right? I mean, think about that. If you go back to these statements, every single one of them, it helps me make it through the week. I feel a sort of inner peace after I've worshiped. Right? I like a sermon that makes me see or think of something in a new way. Now, all of those may be true, right? But the focus in those statements is what? It's all about... Reminds me of a song the praise team does. It's I don't remember the title, but I always remember, it's all about you, Jesus. And sometimes we tease and say, it's all about me, Jesus, right? Because sometimes it really is about us. So in these examples, I am the center of worship, the focus of a carefully orchestrated series of Sunday morning activities that are designed to do something to or for me. Now, I realize that some of you may not, really honestly think this, but let's read this together in the first person like it's written. Let's read it together. I am the center of worship, the focus of a carefully orchestrated series of Sunday morning activities that are designed to do something to or for me. Now, I know if we would, each of us were to be cornered, we probably would not fall in this camp. But many times, we live this life, don't we? Honestly. We really do live this life. Have you ever noticed that many times we are so busy looking at ourselves, it's no wonder that we miss God working in the world? We worship our ego's experience, and very rarely do we ever get around to worshiping God. We worship our ego's experience, and very rarely do we ever get around to worshiping God. We can be so self-absorbed with our own experience, basing our beliefs on our experiences. Did you hear that? Basing our beliefs on our experiences, that when God chooses to work outside of our experience, we miss it. And we wonder why God isn't there anymore. Brothers and sisters, God is right there, right? You see, my belief is that God is there. We have just shut our spirits off to God's presence. You hear that? God is present, but my belief is that we have just shut our spirits off to God because we worship our ego's experience rather than worshiping God. This little saying that it kind of goes right along with my sermon and how I preachers fall into this too. I'm kind of proud of this saying. It's kind of cool. And that's totally against what I'm trying to say this morning. But listen to this. It's so true. On our knees, with our heads bowed low, we are still looking only at ourselves. It's kind of like that idea whenever you point at someone, you have three fingers pointing back at you, don't you? Right? Yeah. On our knees, with our heads bowed low, we are still looking only at ourselves. Do you hear that this morning? And sometimes we get caught into that. Just like I just said, I'm proud of that statement. What is that statement about? Me, right? Yeah. I don't know, maybe that'll be something that'll stick with you. Write it down if you want. Just to remind us that for some reason, and which I'll talk about here in a minute, for some reason, whenever we are on our knees with our heads bowed low, we are still looking only at ourselves. I have come to believe that self-absorption is humanity's greatest sin. Maybe even the sin that started all sins. And yes, I did say that three-letter word in worship this morning, sin. I remember that I had written about this particular issue when I wrote my thesis. And if the ushers had helped me out here just a little bit and pass these out. When I wrote my thesis in seminary, I remembered that I had written on this topic. And so I found it and I dusted off the thesis. And I thought I would just share that section of it with you. Don't take this wrong. Someone walked out and says, yeah, you've reached the ultimate when you can quote yourself. And that's not what it's about at all. This is something, hours upon hours of research went into this statement, like 4 years of research. And it was still powerful to me when I wrote it with regard to this. So I want you to have something in your hands that you can take home today. Goes like this. As you get it, you can catch up. Thank you, ushers, very much for helping out this morning. So remember, we're talking about this concept of self-absorption, right? Being humanity's greatest sin, and that leaches over into our worship and everything that we do. So here we go. Read with me, not ahead of me, please. That's why I just had the ushers give it to you now. Here we go. Today, we continue to commit violence against each other and against God's creation. Because of our struggle for power and possessions, we have been the cause of destruction to God's creation. What has come to my attention, again, this is in 1998, what has come to my attention the most regarding humanity is our self-absorption, our self-centeredness, and our egotistical elitist attitudes. I have come to understand better what God said to Moses in Exodus 33, "You are a stiff-necked people." It seems that the most well-meaning, now listen to me, it seems that the most well-meaning people have to continually fight with themselves to keep their minds focused outward to other people and to God. Can I get an amen on that? Matter of fact, let's read that again. It seems that the most well-meaning people have to continually fight with themselves to keep their minds focused outward to other people and to God. We have an overpowering tendency to turn inward, focusing only on ourselves and our problems. Now more than ever, people are having trouble getting out of the metaphorical box that each of us live in. This brings to mind my study of the creation narrative. In the creation narrative, which describes humanity's first sin, God told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve, being created in God's image and being capable of choosing, had a choice to either eat the forbidden fruit or whatever it was, or to obey God and not eat the fruit. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God by eating the forbidden fruit. The Bible mentions nothing of a need for food, only that when they eat the fruit, their eyes will be opened and they will be like God. Their goal was to be like God. So their sin was not only in the wrong choice, but their logic or their reasoning behind the decision was also wrong. Do you follow that? If you've taken newcomers, you've heard this before in a shortened version. This decision was a sin because this was a decision to turn away from God. In wanting to be like God, they turned away from God and in toward themselves. Does that make sense? The first sin affected another, and corporate sin began because it turned humanity into itself. Augustine, the great African theologian, states, "Our core problem is that the human heart, ignoring God, turns in on itself and tries to lift itself, wants to please itself, and ends up debasing itself." Ladies and gentlemen, look at our culture today, and what are we doing? What are we doing? In my experience, isn't it interesting? What did I just say that our beliefs are based on? But yet I quote myself right here in 1998 saying, in my experience, this is also true when we relate to one another. We turn inward to our personal lives, our personal busy schedules, our personal problems and needs, and tend to forget that there are other human beings, listen now, that need to experience the love of God that we can give. We also fail to see that many times we have much less pain than others that are around us. Does that make sense? You see, so in this conundrum, almost, if you think about it, it's a conundrum. In this conundrum that we are in, everything is forcing us to look through our experience, and culture even bases everything on experience alone. And then we get on our knees as Christians, and guess what? With our heads bowed low, and we're still looking only at ourselves. How many times in our prayers, mine included, am I the servant and God the master? How many times in your prayers and my prayers are we the master and God is the servant? Think about that for a minute. Freud's psychological man uses the community for his own self-enhancement, but feels no commitment to any community. Do we see this issue today? Let me read that again. Freud's psychological man uses the community for his own self-enhancement, but feels no commitment to any community. Do you hear that? In other words, we'll take advantage of communities for our own gain, but there is no commitment to that community. Do you hear what that's saying? Yes, no? Am I like, is this kind of deep? Is that what the problem is? Think about that. How many people do you know that are more than willing to stop by the office, and we're more than willing to give them money, but that there's no commitment to this community whatsoever? And quite honestly, that's not why we give it to them, but it expresses the point, right? How many of us come to worship here or at the Baptist churches or wherever around town and worship on Sunday morning to get one of those statements that we talked about at the beginning of the sermon, but yet have no commitment to that church community? It's almost a use and abuse type situation, so they can fulfill their bucket, right? And yet there's no commitment to the community. There's no supporting the community in prayers and presence, tithes and service, is there? How many people do you know that are like that? And you know what? Is it the folks' fault? Well, they can make their decision. They are a creation of God and God's child, and they have the ability to make their own choices. However, what culture do we live in? That's, unless you've been raised in a church and you hear it over and over and over again, right? It's just the way it is. I am the important one. Isn't that the way we're raised? Freud, his psychological man, he is the center of value, one who is interested in being pleased rather than being saved. Satisfaction is his goal more than salvation. Self-fulfillment, his purpose, more than self-investment. Do you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? You see, Christian worship is bound to be judged irrelevant if in a culture that has this attitude and is unable to see beyond the limited confines of its own nose. And for some of us, there's a little bit more room there than others. Let's read this together. You see, Christian worship is bound to be judged irrelevant in a culture that has this attitude and is unable to see beyond the limited confines of its own nose. This attitude assumes that reality can be adequately described and experienced wholly within itself. Did you catch that? That cannot see even the neighbor, much less God, because it is so busy looking for its own needs. That value things, people, and experiences only for what they can give to me. Are you following me today? I know this isn't too exciting, but yet it's a reality in which we live. Amen? You see, worship is a countercultural activity. It is a countercultural activity. Culture would count it useless. Worship, now listen to me here. I want you guys to write this down. Grab a pencil, pen, put it in your bulletin, and then please don't leave it in the pew. If you want to throw it away, take it home and throw it away. I'm just being real here, all right? I'd love you to put this by your prayer chairs or wherever you pray, and I'd like you to think on this and pray on this, because worship serves no more worthy purpose than the joy of being with the one who loves and is therefore loved. That's what this is all about. You know, many of us who've been raised in the church do not like it at all when someone says, "Oh, that was a great performance." We're not performing, we're worshiping. And that is so true. However, the reality is all of us are performing for one. And guess who that one is? God. It's not for anybody that's up there on the stage. It's not for anybody that's down here in the pews. We are in this for God. Amen? So let's read this together. Worship serves no more worthy purpose than the joy of being with the one who loves and is therefore loved. If I were to ask you right now, why are you here this morning at worship? I've probably scared you so much you're not going to say a word. And I really don't mean to. I just want you to think about something maybe you've never thought of before. My hope is that you are able to see the tendencies of all of us to turn inward and to limit God in so many ways. Amen. You know, in newcomers class, we talk about this idea of, as Christians, we have God's limitless powers at our fingertips. I'll let that sink in for a minute. And I always ask this question. Those of you who have been through newcomers are probably hearing it echo in your head already. And that is, what would this world be like if we lived that way, Christians? What would this world be like if we actually lived, if we actually believed in our minds and our hearts and everything in our being that we had God's power and everything in, at our fingertips of God? The Bible tells us that over and over and over again. However, very rarely do you see people living as if they have all of God's powers at their fingertips. You hear what I'm saying today? Worship is a countercultural activity. But I hope today you are able to see the tendencies of all of us to turn inward and limit God in so many ways. Today, I invite each of us to meet God, to open our lives and our souls up to the infinite possibilities God can give us. I know this is written from my perspective, but again, I want us all to read this together. Can we do that? Today, I invite each of us to meet God, to open our lives and our souls up to the infinite possibilities God can give us. By open up, I mean to allow God to break us out of this metaphorical box that we place ourselves. So, you see, that is what God did to Peter, James, and John in our scripture today that Justin read for us. God did something unexpected. God shattered, didn't he? God shattered their metaphorical box that they had placed themselves in. I mean, think about it. In the Jewish community, in the Hebrew faith, think about it. What have they done to God since the very beginning? Where is God in that faith? In a box! That's right! The Holy of Holies! They not only put him in a box, but they put several layers of curtains around him so he can't get out. I'm trying to be funny, but in a way, if you look at it that way, it's kind of what they did. They put God in a box, right? Y'all here with me today? All right. Do I need to stick my tongue out at you to get a response? My prayer is that you're thinking about it, and that I praise God for that. So God shattered their metaphorical box, not only individually, but culturally today. God shattered their world, and they saw they could never look at Jesus the same again. Those three people could never look at Jesus the same again. Why? Because when they looked at him, they saw him all bright and brilliant and transfigured, talking to Moses and Elijah. So anytime they looked at him again, boy, their memory just sparkled with what happened on this hilltop that we read about today. They didn't understand it until they saw him hanging on the cross, but they didn't forget it. And it just took them a while to put the puzzle together. Amen? Does that ever happen in our lives? We see something we don't understand, and maybe even years later, we go, oh, yeah. Reminds me of Data on Next Generation. He got this chip put in his head so he could understand human humor. And all of a sudden, he started laughing about a joke he heard 10 years ago. If you're a Trekkie, you'd appreciate that. Otherwise, just forget I even said it. So, remember, they met a God that day that didn't conform to their way of thinking, and we have that same God today, folks. God said to Moses, I am that I am. God is who God is. God says that you can either open yourself up to me and learn from me and experience my life, or you can think you know it all, shut me out, and remain small and powerless. Parents, how many times have we said some semblance of that to our children? I'm not focusing on anyone at this point in time. No, seriously. Think about God saying this. God says that you can either open yourself up to me and learn from me and experience my life, or See, we are a people of choice, right? Or you can think you know it all, shut me out, and remain small and powerless. How do most people live that are Christians? Small and powerless. And why do we think that is? Because we've placed ourselves in a box or a bubble or whatever you want to call it. My hope and prayer is that you come to worship looking for God, or maybe you come because God is looking for you. We don't know. But that you come and you open yourself up to God and whatever God has for us. And when we do this, sometimes what we get is not what we expected, is it? Yeah? Do you think when David came and the Hebrew people came in and David all of a sudden was naked and he was walking up worshiping, dancing to God, do you think that's what people expected? People remembered enough to put it down in words, didn't they? Talk about out of a metaphorical box now, right? I will never do that, don't worry. But do I need to do something crazy like that? That would definitely run you out of church, wouldn't it? Do I need to do something crazy like that to break this church out of the metaphorical? You hear what I'm saying? What needs to be done to break us out of this metaphorical box that we, you and me, have placed ourselves in? So my hope and prayer is that you come to worship looking for God, or maybe that you come and open yourself up to God. And sometimes when we do this, we get something that we don't expect. Sometimes there's inspiration. Sometimes there's assurance. Amen. Healing, revelation, hope, forgiveness. It's one of those strange ironies that even as we serve God, sometimes we are the ones who end up being served in the service of worship. But did we get there by wanting that? Do you understand the question? Did we get to this place by wanting that? No, we got to this place by coming to worship. Because God loves you. God was willing to sacrifice his most prized possession, his son, for you. That is why we come to worship. And sometimes this is what we get. Sometimes we are the ones who end up being served in this service of worship. But also, folks, there is judgment, there is ordinariness, there is fear, or like today, maybe there's confusion or despair or awe or dread. Remember, we are being met by the living God, not by our more agreeable false gods. Did you catch that? No matter what happens, God is the main gift that we receive. God is the main gift that we receive. Behind all of our wants, our deepest questions, and beyond even our very best answers, may we discover in worship that God was what we were wanting all along. Let's read this together. Behind all of our wants, our deepest questions, and beyond even our very best answers, may we discover in worship that God was what we were wanting all along. Can I get an amen on that? Worship is a place where God meets us, surprises us, loves us, and enjoys us. Instead of worshiping ego's experience, let us open ourselves to God whenever we worship and see what kind of surprising ride God has in store for us. Amen? Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise, Lord. And it is such a challenge for us, finite human beings, to continue looking outward to you, Lord. Looking outward to other people that need your love and joy, and we are the ones that share that, God. We give you thanks that you use us in that way. But also, Lord, it's awful tough, and we need your presence and we need your power. We need anything that you can give us to wake us up, Lord, so that we will be able to share the love that you have shown us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are able, would you please stand with me and let us turn to our song of invitation, Open My Eyes That I May See. It's number 454 in your hymnals, 454.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see.
Joy this morning, and that is that Irvin and Katie Habeck have come to join our membership today, and it is just great that they are here. I got to know them in newcomers class a few weeks ago, and we just celebrate the fact that you're here with us today and want to join this community. Now, you are baptized Christians, and you are presently members of another church, but for the good of this community as well as for our own memory, right? I have some questions. I should put the question before the answer, shouldn't I, for you to answer. So let me get my screens caught up here. Irv and Katie, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you understand that there are evil powers in this world creating brokenness and suffering, working against God's plan of healing and wholeness? And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates brokenness rather than wholeness? I do. Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with the church, which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Would you all please stand?
As Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust in God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Amen. Please be seated. Go ahead.
As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries?
I will.
As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
The membership covenant that you signed states, I will grow spiritually and support the spiritual growth of our church community. I will share in the purpose of our church community. I will find some way to grow in faith apart from Sunday morning worship, and I will protect the unity of our church community. Do you fully understand this covenant and promise to uphold it? Would you please turn and face the congregation? Members of the household of God, I entrust these individuals to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, perfect them in love, and show them how a true community of faith stands with them in the crossroads of life. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As worshipers, together with you in the body of Christ, and in this community of the First United Methodist Church of Warsaw, we celebrate your decision to become a member of this church community. We prayerfully support you and look forward to our journey together. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our tithes, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Jesus Christ, establish you and strengthen you, my friends, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that with God's power and freedom you may live in grace and peace. Let's give the Hobbicks a hand here this morning. Thank you. Hold on just a second. They said that they would like to join me at the back door so you can greet them on your way home or to lunch today. So you'll have a chance and opportunity to congratulate them in that regard. Thank you guys so very much. Also, next week, August 28th, if you'd like to become a member or just learn more about First Church, 1 o'clock in the chapel, we will have newcomers class, and you are definitely invited to that. Homer?
We continue in worship with the presentation of our tithes and offerings.
Our closing song is number 98, and we'll sing the first verse.
Thank you so much for being here today and worshiping with us. Our hope is and our prayer is that you felt God's presence in a powerful way today, and that maybe you were able to think about some things, Justin, that you weren't able to think about before. So as you go from this place, I always want you to remember that you are absolutely a child of God, and you are never alone. Take that. God wants us to use that and share that with people who don't have that hope, who don't have that comfort. So go from this place knowing that you are a child of God and share that with the world. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, may God bless you richly. Amen.